like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who has been on the show before, but one of the things I like about sort of having repeat guests on the podcast is I often can find an artist at very different points in their trajectory. I think the last time you were on the show, and we'll get into who you are, what you do in a second, but I think the last time you were on the show, your band was really new. I mean, you didn't have any recordings out yet. You didn't even have a social media presence. I mean, now things are obviously have changed in the time between now and then. And I think we can sort of talk about what has happened with this band and what is happening in the relatively near future. But the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself, give a background about the project, and we can go from there.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I'm Marshall. I sing and play guitar in Dog Pops. And we are a rock and roll band in Winnipeg here.
Right on.
It's a four-piece band. The other folks couldn't make it. We're all old, boring Monday to Friday boys these days. So I had a little bit of freedom though, so I was able to make it.
Right on. Well, yeah, I'm glad you could, and I'm glad we're sort of catching up again too, because like I said last time we talked, it was a very, very new project, and so obviously things have progressed to the point you have a record that's out, you have a bunch of shows happening, there's a lot sort of going on in the Dog Pops universe. I guess in the time sort of between the last time you were on the show and now, I mean, has anything, I guess what's changed? I mean, because at that point you were really, this was a really new thing you were introducing, you sort of were determining what the sound of the band was going to be. I know, you know, all of the members of the band had been in previous projects with, you know, kind of a wide range of styles and sounds, and you had coalesced into this thing. How would you sort of describe where the band is at this moment in time?
Yeah, so I mean, back then it was probably around the time of our first show or something, coming off of the pandemic and all that fun business. We were really kind of, I mean, a lot of the focus of the band is kind of just hanging out with buds and rocking and rolling and seeing what happens. So there's never been like a strong sense of like, we got to do this sort of thing or guide it a certain way. But back then, we had a different guitar player back then. Gage used to play guitar, and he's a virtuoso on absolutely everything, and was a lot of like wild shredding metal-y solo sort of stuff,
right?
But he's got a million things going on, so he's busy with other things, and since then we got a different guitar player, Brock, who's a buddy of mine, who he's played in a number of bands in Victoria and Toronto and stuff like that over the years, but he's in Winnipeg now, and I think it's kind of gelled into more of a cohesive sound since then, maybe a little bit. His guitar playing is he's not the virtuoso like Gage is, but it works very well with the music. I think most of my approach to music is fairly simplistic and not that fancy or anything like that, and he's, you know, by his own admission, not a lead guitar player. He doesn't even have a guitar or an amp, but I've got a couple for him,
right?
And he figures it out very well. He's a lot more sort of arpeggiated chords, just playing a chord higher up the neck sort of thing to add a little bit of flavor, which I think pairs nicely with the sort of simplistic, janky approach we have to our music.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned the sort of virtuoso side of things, because yeah, that almost doesn't seem like it would fit. I'm sure it sounded great, but with the type of songwriting you do. And I was going to ask, the first thing that sort of struck me about the record when I first listened to it, and on subsequent listens as well, is that you seem to, and I think this is true of some of your other projects too, but you seem to write songs. Some people write songs about personal experiences, you know, the very deep emotional things. You seem to write songs about things that you've observed. I don't know if that's an accurate way of sort of describing the songwriting, but it seems like from song to song, you're just talking about this thing that you saw or something that happened, kind of almost more of an abstract sort of outside view of this thing happening rather than this kind of, you know, deeply held emotional connection to what you're singing about. And not that there's a right or wrong way to write songs, but is that something you do deliberately, or are you just more sort of seeing things and saying, hey, that's cool, I'm gonna write a song about it?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's observational songwriting, definitely. Yeah, I find with me writing songs, I'm not like have a concept in my mind and I want to express something. It's like exactly like you say, I experience something, I see something, and a rhyme will come into my head about it or something. And generally it's something that I find somewhat amusing. So, and a lot of the time that's animals.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. Animals and food seem to be like, you know, fairly regular, themes.
Yeah. They're a big part of life, you know, they're around, they're amusing. You either got your pets, which are in your house, which is a big part of your life, or, you know, you're walking down the street and you see a cool animal and that's an exciting part of the day.
For sure. I can't, it's hard to argue with that. This may be a strange question about it, but do you feel, you know, a lot of people when they're writing about things that are more, not as surface level, I guess, as an animal or food, and not to say the songs themselves are surface level, but just the subject matter, they tend to put a lot of emotion into it, especially when playing it live. How does that work for you? Because I mean, you're just talking about, you know, say for example, a cat you saw, is it difficult to sort of find another gear with that, in terms of, you know, injecting some kind of more feeling to it in a live setting? And again, I'm not trying to shit on your choice of subject matter, because I think it works very well for what you do.
No, we are wholly emotionless. No, I don't know. I think the emotion is more related to fun, maybe some humor, just excitement to be rocking. And I think there's a lot of like the idea that's, you know, bringing up sad or traditionally emotional topics or things you're angry about or things you get more worked up or fired up in that way, is often kind of what folks think about when they think about injecting emotion into music. But I think fun and humor are valid emotions to have in music too, you know?
Oh, for sure. And I don't think there is a right or wrong answer to that, because I've had, you know, instrumental electronic artists on here, and I've had the same question for them, is, you know, how do they, and they have absolutely ways of emotionally connecting to what they're doing, whether it is in the same way as someone writing about, you know, this tragedy or whatever. But I noticed you've a bunch of times here sort of described it as rock or rocking and using all those adjectives. Is that what you think of it as? Do you think of this as like a rock and roll project, or do you have like a more specific sort of description for it?
I mean, like it's rock is just a nice generic term, and I do feel like a lot of when I'm writing a song and the things that I go to tend to be as far as chords and melodies and stuff like that tend to be pretty rooted in standard rock formats. A lot of my songs are the classic 1-4-5 progressions. It's a lot of ideas that I've lifted from 50s rock and roll and 60s pop rock and into punk, which was basically just taking rock and roll and doing it sloppy and quick, which is kind of what we do. So in a sense, we're a little bit of a punk band, I guess. I think we've got a punk ethos, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
But I find punk has sort of a connotation of being aggressive and angry and all these things, and I think we're very, if we're punk, we're very friendly punk, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a place for friendliness in punk rock too, though. I mean, it doesn't all have to be you know, fight the system or whatever.
No, absolutely. And I mean, bands like you know, the Evaporators are a band that I think it's kind of in line with the sort of things we do. But then other bands like the Presidents of the United States of America, sure, which are like not punk exactly, they're just, again, I would just call them like a straight ahead rock and roll band that takes kind of fun subject matter and walks with it. I that's something I really like, is taking mundane, somewhat potentially silly subject matter and trying to make it real rockin', because to me that's it's funny, it's fun to do.
Yeah, well, I think those bands you mentioned too are good comparisons. I mean, like the Presidents, for example, like they're, you know, I they're obviously not a punk band in terms of like the genre, but I think like in their whole aesthetic is with the, you know, homemade sort of stringing of guitars and then the jangly talking about mundane subject matter sometimes, but in a fun way, in an upbeat way. I think that works, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, a big part of punk too, I guess, is the being whatever, a sort of counterculture, subversive approach. And I think sometimes in a world of a lot of music that takes itself very seriously, taking yourself a little bit less seriously is kind of a counter approach to things. And I think very much the Presidents are an example of that, coming off of a grunge where everything was hard and angry and everyone was, you know, very serious about everything, and the Presidents came along, and to me that was a subversive approach to music.
It was super refreshing too, like getting that tape, you know, just because everything else was super for sure. Do you think that maybe it's almost like a stealth way to get people interested in what you're doing? You have this sort of, you know, friendly, non-threatening approach, and then, you know, you get kind of sneak in the back way and get the songs embedded in people's brains.
I don't know. I think people don't always like friendly or upbeat or happy music. It's usually seen as, you know, lighter fare. Humor is usually seen as something that can't be taken seriously, I guess.
Sure.
So I don't know if it helps that. I find it makes it probably easier for me to do it. I think if I was writing some very important emotional songs or something, I'd be much less comfortable going in front of people and singing them. So this makes it easier for me to just go and, you know, sing about an egg.
Yeah. Well, and there's a song in Spanish in there too, which also is, I mean, has the humor side of things too, because you clearly have an Anglo accent when doing the Spanish, the Spanish lyrics. So it works on the level of this is a song in Spanish, and also this is ridiculous. So I appreciate the humor, even if it's not direct humor, right? Like it's funny conceptually.
Yeah, that one was definitely. I mean, I wrote that long ago, while in Mexico, and very much there's a point where I was like, should I try to like fix these lyrics so they're more appropriate Spanish? But I'm like, no, it should be coming from the approach of someone who's in Mexico for a month and totally, like, has a grasp on Spanish.
It comes through like that too, for sure, and it definitely seems like it's deliberate rather than you're just bad at Spanish, right? So
is that too?
Listo? ¿Dónde es la cantina? Yo quiero más cerveza. No estoy borracho y es un problema en la en la primavera. Hola, amigo. Tiene un excusado. Yo te pido mucho. Y es un problema. En la ciudad es caluroso. Y somos solo. Burros en la primavera. En la primavera, en la ciudad es caluroso, y somos solo, burros en la primavera.
I was going to ask too, and you mentioned though the songs, some of these songs have been in the works for a while. There's a lot of songs on this record. How long have you been kind of crafting this thing? between, you know, when the band started, and I imagine all of these songs date back quite a bit.
Yeah, it's quite a, there's kind of like half and half. About half of the songs have been around for, like, some of them over 5 years. Like, some we were playing a little bit with former bands, Marshall and some buddies, and they kind of stuck around and never got recorded. And then probably about half of them I brought to the band just a couple months before recording, kind of once Brock joined the band.
Okay.
Bringing them in and getting those ready. And I think that was good too, because I wanted to kind of get rid of a backlog of songs that were sitting around that I'd been playing for too long. But I also wanted to have it seem somewhat fresh and not just be a bunch of old songs. So it's about half and half there. And we did, I mean, recorded a couple EPs, I suppose, in the basement in between, and again, got rid of some songs there. Got rid of the dog and the bird songs out of the way.
Yeah.
And those is kind of what was left, and then added some new things in.
Cool. Do you feel like listening back to it, like, can you tell which ones are the newer songs, which ones are the older songs? Is there like something stylistically about them that sort of differentiates the former era and the current stuff?
Maybe. I hadn't really thought too much about that, but probably. I think the newer songs, I mean, I kind of like the newer songs a lot more because they're fresher for me.
Sure.
I think they're a little bit, I personally think that my songwriting is always getting better. I find some of the newer songs have a bit more fun little things that kind of, in some cases, bring to mind for me stuff like the Beatles and 60s pop stuff, like the song These Fish is very much in my mind, like a Beatles-influenced song.
Okay.
Or songs like Johnny Egg, which that one has like a whole completely different sort of rhythmic style to it than anything else. Bleeding of the Goats is one of the newer ones too, and that one is quite different than all the others. It's kind of the slow one, I guess, on the album. So yeah, I'd say like the newer ones usually were, at the time, the songs that I felt stood out the most compared to the other songs we already had, and that was usually because they had a bit of a different sound.
So okay. It's interesting that the three songs you mentioned either had, you know, food or animals in the title, so it works pretty well.
Could have been any of the songs, they probably would have.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess the sort of brother to that question is, do you feel like now, I mean, now this is, you know, people are hearing this is out in the world, do you feel like the band has progressed beyond these songs, or are these still sort of actively what the dog pop sound is?
And when I release something, my immediate, well, let's never play those songs again. But at the same time, I think it's worthwhile. If you release something and then people maybe get to know the songs, you should probably still play them a bit. But we're pretty, I've been working on wanting to create this album of songs about species at risk in Manitoba for a long time. And I finally kind of got, there's like 14 songs written there.
Oh, cool.
And so we've started learning a few of those already, but starting to learn more and more on those. So we'll probably move into those. And as shows go, start phasing out the old ones and bringing in new ones. But also we're all getting older. Most of us have kids. We don't have that much time to constantly be learning new songs and stuff like that. So it's, the pace of learning new stuff and jettisoning the old is a little bit slower than it might have been once upon a time.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. I mean, I make less podcasts than I used to for the same reasons. So I definitely get it. Today, I saw two bunnies hopping around my yard, and it was good. I would say it was the highlight. what is the songwriting process here? Like, is it, are you sort of bringing the songs to the group and then they're fleshing them out, or is there collaboration as far as writing? Because it does seem like very much like these are your songs, especially having heard some of your previous bands as well. It's a very similar style.
Yeah, they're pretty much entirely. I'll write them on an acoustic guitar and have all the chords and melodies and stuff ready, and I bring them to the band and I let them do what they want with it, which is pretty much always my approach. Sometimes I'll have a specific backup vocal line or maybe a bass line or something like that that I think would be good, but pretty much it's I bring them like that, and then they do what they will with it, which I find is very helpful, because if I didn't do that, they would all kind of come out sounding the same, probably.
So right. You need that extra bit of feedback. Yeah.
Able to change the textures and the rhythms and stuff like that a bit, which makes things a lot more interesting. And there's a lot of backup vocals in it, which is my favorite part of the whole thing nowadays. I wish we were just a choir, basically.
Yeah.
But it's that's the most fun stuff to me. And our drummer, David, his dad was a choir conductor, and he's really good at picking out the different parts and stuff like that. So oftentimes when we're jamming, we'll spend probably more time working on vocals than the instruments. The rest kind of just comes.
Cool. Cool. Well, and as you mentioned before too, I mean, a lot of these songs are very, very simple structure, right? So you kind of have the time to experiment with that stuff, because I guess you can probably get the basics of it down fairly quickly, and then you can just sort of build up from there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's pretty much how it goes.
How does that work live? I mean, because, you know, like you have all, especially with the vocals, you have all these backing vocals on there, like you said. Is that something that you can replicate, or does it have to be a simpler, more stripped down version?
We pretty much do it all live, I would say. Most, when we recorded, we recorded in two full day sessions, but recorded pretty quickly. So there wasn't a great deal of time to experiment and add a whole bunch of other things. So what we did as far as vocals were really just what we were already doing live in the songs. Okay. So it's, we're able to do it pretty well. I mean, we probably don't all sing as well live as we do when we got a few takes in the studio, but again, we only took two, maybe three takes of any of the vocals on it. So yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Cool.
A few less auxiliary keyboards and stuff like that. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Just to base the amount of people you have on stage, I guess, limits that, right?
Yeah.
Do these songs, I mean, obviously this is a band project, it's not a solo thing, but do these songs also work? Like, if you wanted to play an acoustic show of these songs, would they also work good that? Or at this point, are you now sort of married to the more fulsome versions of them?
I think they could pretty much all work acoustic. They wouldn't be as good, particularly because of the vocals.
Sure, sure.
That's, I mean, that's kind of always been my approach. I feel like a good song should be able to be played on an acoustic guitar and a singer and still sound like a decent song. I think Keith Richards said something like that once or something, but I think it's true. I think when I think of my goal for a song, it's not like creating some very interesting recording of textures or going on stage and having all the right effects pedals to make it sound the perfect way and having people think that sound is great. It's more the idea of that song sitting in someone's head and they can repeat it in their head. And I think that kind of song, you kind of should be simple enough that you can play it on an acoustic guitar too and not lose too much by not having the extra stuff, you know?
Well, I guess you don't want to have the other problem where they're hearing it live and it's just this massive production and then they get the record and it's the stripped down thing that is fairly straight ahead.
Yeah. And we've also we have played a number of shows with different configurations of the band when people aren't available, people are off on work travel or whatever, and we get a show. So we've done it in various different three pieces. One time we did it actually where Brock, the guitar player, Dave wasn't around, so he played drums. He's also played keyboards in the band and everything too. He's played every part actually, but we're able to pretty quickly just kind of shift around as needed. And like,
cool.
If the parts aren't exactly like they normally are, it's fine. The song's behind it and we're there having fun.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same song, right? Yeah, it still works. Yeah. So what's the response been so far? I mean, I know you, like you said, you've had some EPs sort of in the time in between and you've had music that has come out. But, you know, this is a much larger project in scope, I guess. So what's the feedback been like from people who've heard it?
People seem to like it. I've heard most from my kids who have heard it and they like it. They particularly like the song that my daughter Cece co-wrote, Hedgehog.
Okay.
And John Legg. But yeah, anyone I've talked to says it's good. I mean, who knows if that's true when you're talking to them, but It's doing good on the UMFM charts. It's at number two right now.
Right on.
CKUW hasn't released charts in a while. I'm trying to find out, but it's probably up there. We usually do better on CKUW. We got to number two in Windsor, Ontario somehow. I do not know how, but
that's cool. Yeah.
So I think that radio likes it,
yeah.
Seemingly, which is good. That's something like that.
Well, and it definitely seems like it's sort of almost tailor-made for campus radio too, right? Like this is the type of record that is going to get played on a bunch of different shows because it's not sort of distinctly married to one genre. I mean, you know, there's obviously pop elements, there's rock elements. It's not overly aggressive or loud or quiet. You know, it's sort of right in this nice middle ground where it's not offensive, but not in a boring way, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, the whole college and campus radio, it's not a sound or anything like that, but that sort of scene of what kind of bands, particularly back in like the 80s and into the 90s, is a big influence on me too. I find if you say something like indie rock, that has certain connotations nowadays, particularly since the early 2000s,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Like bands like Young Fresh Fellows and early REM and stuff like that, are a big influence on me too. The bands who are like, they basically like us, they're influenced by punk, but they weren't punk bands. And that was basically college radio in the 80s.
Totally. Yeah. It's like punk bands that have listened to a lot of pop and it's it takes the edge off, but it doesn't take the whole DIY aesthetic off it.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah. That's cool. So what's, I guess, you know, like you've mentioned a few times too, you know, you guys are older now, you have families, you can't be doing the band maybe as heavy as you would like to. I'm not sure, but what is sort of the goal with this now? I mean, you have the record out, people are hearing this. Obviously you're playing a bunch of shows. Is this level of sort of where the band is? Are you cool with this, or do you have aspirations for this to go anywhere further?
I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, as far as further, I mean, as many people as can hear it and like it, that's great.
Yeah,
I would love
course,
to.
Yeah.
I really like reading reviews of music. I'd love like to be have it reviewed on website and stuff, but that I've also found it barely exists anymore today.
It's
the
weird,
world
yeah.
Of,
yeah.
Music criticism is either you're a very big band and you get into the big things, or you're like, you know, you pay for the review that says you guys are good because you paid for it. It's not really an existing thing. But so that, I mean, I'd love to just be in a situation. I mean, for one, I'd love to play a festival sometime. That'd be good. And be in a situation where every now and then folks invite us to play shows a few a year. And yeah, that's good. As long as, and people come to shows and enjoy us, that's all I'm really hoping for. I'm not expecting fame and fortune or to get on the CBC or anything like
right.
that.
Well, that seems doable. I mean, those goals seem definitely attainable. I'm sure you can get on a there's so many festivals in Winnipeg, especially too, that it seem to be like new ones every week. So I imagine that what you're doing would suit at least one of those at some point in the future.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah.
These fish absolutely make you laugh. These fish absolutely make you laugh. Just sit on down a while and I guarantee you'll crack a smile. Cause these fish absolutely make you
have coming up. I mean, the good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it, you know, the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now, and in which case what we're talking about might not be relevant. But if someone's listening sort of, you know, right now as we're doing this, what's sort of in the cards for the foreseeable future for Dog Pops?
So we got a couple of shows for sure coming up, and then a couple, or at least one other maybe. So we got March 13th, we're playing at the Old Handsome Daughter with Great Wealth, who are fantastic.
Very good band, yeah.
The Lost EP, which I think just came out last fall. It's probably just about my favorite of the year. and Yellow Chocolate, who are this great band of these funny dudes who play very strange kind of Ween-esque home recorded music.
I feel like their subject matter and stuff too would fit in well with what you do.
Yeah, definitely. They've got the glibness to them. And then a band called Nothing with three exclamation marks. But I actually don't know too much about they but I saw them on the internet and I heard some of their stuff and it sounded good and I thought, bring them on, why not?
Cool.
So that's March 13th at the Handsome Daughter. And then we also have a show May 2nd at Side Stage with Mullagrub
Oh,
and
nice.
with Bicycle Face and with the Shania's, which is the new band of Megumi from French Class, but they're kind of a more of a rockin' band as
Yeah.
opposed to a keyboard-driven thing. So that should be pretty fun. That's May 2nd,
That seems like another
and
great
then.
bill of like related bands too. I mean, you know, it's all it's not they're all different. I mean, Mullagrub and you guys and Bicycle Face maybe on the surface are different styles, but I can definitely see a through line, you know, for all of them. And obviously, the Shania's I haven't heard yet, but I imagine based on the descriptions I've heard, it sounds like it would probably also fit in that whole spectrum.
Yeah, they're all, bud bands that we've played around with and stuff like that, known the folks for a long time. They're all good folks and come, I think, with a similar approach to music in lots of ways. So there's those, and then there's one, speaking of festivals, that I'm currently just starting to plan, but it might happen June 20th. And that's going to be Donkey Day 3 Festival, and this is the new festival for the city.
Okay.
It was a festival that my buddy Graham used to help put on in Brandon, well, 2 years, for about 10 years ago or more. It's a celebration of all things donkey, so there'd be music, and they would invite folks to bring art and literature, write stories about donkeys, and they would be read, and people could look at the art. Yeah, I'm looking to get that set up because Graham's been living in Europe. He's coming back to town. He just released a really good album called Modernity Dying. And so I got a pretty good lineup of folks who are interested in it. But still getting that set up. But that
Cool.
might be coming down
So
the
stay
pipeline
tuned for
too.
Donkey Day. Yes.
Donkey Day is going to be the new festival that's going to take over.
Why
Real
don why
long, you got
donkeys?
Donkey Day.
Is there a reason behind the donkey thing, or is it just a random?
Donkeys are funny.
Yeah, no, they
It's
are. I'm
a
sure.
good animal. Yeah, I think there's some kind of an absurdist edge to it, but donkeys
Right
are
on. Yeah, I'll have
good.
to check that out when it happens. How can people hear this? I mean, you know, obviously we're on the internet. People listen to music in 17,000 different ways. If you were to recommend your record to someone, where would you send them? Where would you know, direct them towards?
You can find it on the old Bandcamp, and it's on as many streaming things as I'm aware of, I think. I don't know. I went on the DistroKid, and it sends it to all of them. So you
Oh
can
yeah.
find it on Apple Music, I imagine, whatever else there is out there. What is it, Tidal or something?
This
I
is
don't
a
know.
million. I mean, I don't use any of them, so I don't know.
So you can search it up. It'll be there. Best case scenario, come to one of the shows. We got some CDs left. We didn't press very many. So we got a few left. So if you want, you can come get a copy of that, and we'll give it to you for like $5 or whatever.
Awesome. Well, I was happy, very happy to get one. So thanks for that. That was, yeah. There still are some of us who are dinosaurs and don't understand streaming. So, which is ridiculous to make a podcast. You think I would get it, but yeah, I don't. So CDs are nice.
Absolutely, no problem. And making a CD is nice too. I mean, just having a physical thing is cool. It's a whole part of the artistic package of creating an album. I think it's, to me, it would be a letdown to go to the effort of recording a full album and not do that. Obviously, records, pain in the ass, too much money, too much time. I'm not
For
doing
sure,
that.
for sure.
And tapes are like the big thing everyone does nowadays, but I don't know. I like the square. I find tapes limit your ability to work in artwork into it and work in liner notes and all these sorts of things. A CD still looks like a little record, which appeals to me more.
Yeah.
And realistically, they're kind of equally outdated and unnecessary. No one's going to listen to either of them probably, but
Well, other
I
than me and like
like
five
the
other people,
physical figure better. Yeah, right.
So, and okay, and then if someone is hearing about your band for the first time, where can they find out about upcoming shows? And depending when they hear this, maybe upcoming music as well.
I guess the most semi-active thing we have is we got an Instagram. We also have a Facebook page, but I eventually gave in and got Instagram because they realized that Instagram it makes the rock and roll go round. That's what that's kind of where you find other bands and where things happen. And I've found I really hate it, but it's sort of a necessary evil in a sense. So yeah, we're there. You can I think it's Instagram.com/dogpopsrock. That's
I'll
it.
link to it in the show notes so people can find it if they're looking for it. I assume there's not that many dog, but maybe there is dog pops accounts.
Well, if you search dog pops generally, you find a lot of like companies that make popsicles for dogs.
Right. I think we talked about this last time we were on the show too about the naming, but yeah, no. So I'll link to the go to the show notes, click on the thing, and you'll get to the Instagram.
Come and gone. What good are these pumpkins now? I'm heading to a farm to feed them to a cow. I fed the cows all right, but what keeps me up at night is I hear the bleating of the goats. Coming from their throats as they go about their business. I try to bleed along with them, but it only stirs up phlegm and it makes them suspicious. I fed my pals bovine, porcine and equine. I stood in a small line to watch them gaily dine. Those eyes of rectangles, they're chanting madrigals. I hear the bleating of the goats, it's coming from their throats as they go about their business. I try to bleed along with them, but it only stirs up phlegm and it makes them suspicious. Almost here, a time of joy and cheer. I suppose that it gets cold on the farm when you're a goat. I go